We're going to go right into our third day. I see a few faces, new faces, so we will update you just very briefly. Anyway, you just walked into the course of dying to live, and we're discussing how to die daily, or how to really to live in the highest way by being freed of all kinds of attachments. Everything is superfluous, weeds, anarthas, enemies of the mind. Yesterday we reflected on Prabhupada mentioning in Srimad Bhagavatam 1943 that the purpose or goal of life is to die like Grandfather Bhishma. And so if we think about that, that everything that we do as entities in human bodies, because human body is an escape body. You know that in the lower species, that is very hard to be able to access higher understanding of things. You know, on the lower planets, there's so much misery, so much suffering, that most of the energy is just on how to avoid the suffering. In the higher planets, there's often so much sense gratification, so much satisfaction from temporary enjoyment, chapalasukha, that it's also hard to really access the intensity that allows us to go back to Vrindavan. The mature world, Earth-like planets, are so full of the duality that sometimes, even the same day, even sometimes the same things that can make you happy can frustrate the hell out of you. The duality is, you know, just so intense. And so this kind of duality really is ultimately there to remind us that we are something much bigger than what we are presently doing, or what we are as residents of the mature world. And so everything we arrange from day to day should somehow, it's like you have a file cabinet or computer, and you have things in file. So it's there. What's in the background? We have the deities, and then we have the backdrops. So the backdrop should always be, okay, now, what does this mean in connection to preparing me for the ultimate examination, ultimate experience? Today, some of you, you know, you got your certificates for Bhakti Shastra, the Bhakti Shastra course. And of course, you had many days of study and many days of involvement in the classes and different tests at different times. And it all added up to either a passing or a failure, and even different levels of, you know, of passing. And so sometimes we become so involved in just the day-to-day activities that we begin to forget, hold a minute, there's this backdrop, there's examination, there's this ultimate experience that we're going to have that's based upon the choices and the things that we do every single day. We did a little physical experiment yesterday showing how our thoughts can influence actions. And so we projected our thoughts on one of the Guru Kulis, in two different schemes, two different activities. And we saw how collectively, as we focused, we created a certain experience to help us to see how much every day we are creating things that happen to us based on our mental culture. And each day we are either assaulting others or ourselves, or sabotaging our own spiritual acceleration, or we're doing things that's bringing us closer, you know, to final graduation. And so we were looking at Chiranjivas, some entities who never die. We looked at some categories of such persons. And then we were looking at Mrita Sanjivani, or instances where someone left the body and was brought back to life. So we had quite a number of those who never die and those who some who have passed on, but some special pastime, special occurrence, where they were brought back to life. And there's an art that some of the demigods have, pure devotees have it. And in a general sense, it's the art of bringing the same soul back, the same body, where there's seemingly an untimely death. In one sense, we know there's no ultimate death, and we know that there's no untimely death, that when one leaves, there's a certain reason why they leave at that time. But there are literally tens of thousands of people, even now, who've had what's called a near-death experience, where from all biological considerations, the person had died but was resuscitated. And some of those people talk about the experience, you know, of meeting the Yamadutas. In some cases, they have some interesting little glimpse of some possibilities. But in many cases, they come back with some important realizations. So in this course, without being morbid, we are doing things to die each day and to come back alive. Or we are doing things so that we can look at both realities. The experience of everything that we have been about ceasing. Or the experience of walking away from so many things that we consider to be our life space, our field of activities, many things we consider to be our identity. And today and tomorrow, as we have our last few days, we will go a little more introspectively into, you know, this reflection. So a homework assignment we had the other day, which we're going to work on a little bit, is we asked the devotees to imagine that they had left this world but had the mystic potency to be able to view their body and the funeral or the samskara ceremony that's honoring their disappearance. So in other words, we ask devotees to view their own funeral and to reflect on what things they would feel comfortable with of hearing people say about them. What they would like to have to hear when such occurrence does happen to them, what exactly would they want people to think? So we asked them to write down what they would want people to think in terms of someone speaking about what they meant to them and what they meant to community. We're all from different communities, yatras, where some Krishna consciousness is going on in some way. And we are adding something to that. We're offering something. We're taking, experiencing so many different things. We often don't think daily of how much what each of us does adds to the culture of devotion for the whole world of Krishna consciousness. It adds to your individual family, it adds to your particular project, and it adds to what we're all working with or working through in this present time, you know, as present day Vaishnavas. Every time someone advances more in his or her spiritual life, it makes the general experience of devotional service a little easier. Just like, remember, in Sattva Yuga, people were basically God conscious. In Treta, we see the percentage goes down 25, Dwapara. But there was this general atmosphere that naturally allowed people to be more Krishna conscious because they were associating with more Krishna conscious people, and more things were designed to entice or to engender a God-conscious focus. Well, one of the more dominant things about Kali Yuga is that the normative patterns of the society are designed to help people to forget Krishna. And so where in the earlier yugas, the current was very supportive for directing one toward the Godhead. Where especially in Kali Yuga, the current goes against the steady progress of devotion. We are in the abode of Maya. And so, just like if you are in an enemy's camp, then it means that the atmosphere is dominated by the mentality and the arrangements of the adversary. So one has to be so careful. One can't just be ordinary or natural, because what is natural is that of the adversary. What is natural is the sinful things. And so when devotees are too nonchalant, too much playing in to orthodox society, then they are being attacked and influenced by the current. And so they have to work, put extra effort not to be drawn down by the current. The current is pushing you forward. Then just by almost remaining still, you get pushed forward. But when the current is going against you, by maintaining still, you get go back fast. And if you don't exert yourself sufficiently, even though you're exerting, you'll still get pushed back. So because things are more geared for us to think that we're these bodies, to think that the things that we do every day, it is maintaining body, is the all in all, then one has to be that much more mindful. That, hold a minute, I'm not really a resident here. And in some short time, I'm going to be out of here. And according to the choices I make now, will determine where I go, what I experience. And once I leave this place. So our assignment, some of you shared yesterday, we're one of the few who didn't share what you wrote. And we ask you to be honest. This is not a time to be pseudo-humble or meek. We want you to share with us things that you would be happy about hearing at your own funeral of what you or what your existence meant. And this will be a reality experience that we'll all have at some point, is that especially those, our relatives and those who know us, will be reflecting on our departure and what our presence meant for them, what we offered or brought forth in community, and what it will be like now not being in association with you. We're dealing with this kind of course because for many reasons. One, because it's the most unequivocal thing that we all leave the body. Two, even though we hear this discussion every single day, we're not the body, we're not the body, we're not the body. Sometimes you hear something so much, are we going to die? You hear it so much, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And so we're not just going to discuss it only philosophically, but by the lilas and applying it to ourselves, of having some hypothetical experience of leaving the body. But we are going to have second, third, and maybe even fourth chance, which normally most people don't have. We're having on a regular experience now, devotees leaving their bodies, coming to Vrindavan, and devotees leaving their bodies. We've had in our biological families, in many cases our grandparents and parents, in some cases our brothers and sisters leaving. Having in our spiritual communities, our founder Charya, and now some of our present spiritual masters. And now, of course, we have His Holiness Swami Maharaj, who's come with the idea of perhaps leaving the body here. And, of course, that is up to Krishna. But the doctors, the medical doctors, are saying that he has a very short time, that, a couple of months or so. And we also know that at some point, we're also going to lose our spiritual master, leave the body. At some point, we're going to ourselves go, or our best God sister, God brother, husband, wife, whatever, is going to leave. And as we are in the mindset each day of being in readiness for whatever, then when we do have that examination, hey, you know, we're ready to deal with that. How many of the devotees here have been in a room where someone, you know, has died? You know, they've been in the room as someone has made that transition. Okay. Yes. Raise your hand again. Okay. Maybe the better thing to say is how many haven't. Okay. So even though we know that this happens regularly, happens every day, every hour somebody's dying, every minute practically, but still, the majority of us have never seen it. Never really seen someone where the body is there. Seconds later, you know, the soul is gone. And those who have, I mean, it's an impact experience. So you may have a chance to talk about it at some later time. How many, this is a little more unorthodox, but how many of you feel that you're in touch with someone who has passed on? Raise your hand when you feel this. Okay. Okay. Which is a very powerful experience. And some people may have that kind of sensitivity, or have that connection with an entity that has left the body, but has having some connection, some contact, appearing, speaking, warning, guiding, blessing. So that often happens more than we talk about. But it's also a way to, again, remind us how life is in a continuum, and it's eternal, and that there's so many different aspects, you know, to existence. We all are in tune with the parampara. And we do something that is proper in our Krishna consciousness, we're getting blessed. Not only by the immediate sadhus and our immediate spiritual masters, but we're getting blessed, you know, by the parampara chain. And we do something that is improper, we're an embarrassment to not only our immediate guru and the sadhus, but also to the parampara chain. We do remind ourselves sometimes, this is the movement of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Madhavendra Puri and all of these great devotees. They have established certain things, put certain things into motion. And just as when we come to India and we come and have the many pilgrimages, it's also time to remind us, this is our spiritual family. We're connected with these great personalities. That the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Mangala, the Chaitanya Bhagavat that we read, that is not just book or books. We visit these places where these pastimes took place. It helps us to, hopefully, to be able to connect, you know, on a deeper level. To remind ourselves, we are a branch of the Chaitanya tree. To remind ourselves that we are now engaged in the performing or extending some of the leelas. It's connected with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, especially, you know, the Saraswat family, particularly under the blessings and umbrella of our founder, Charja, Srila Prabhupada. So it's really wonderful when devotees do come to visit these sacred dhams to connect more with what they have been reading, to pray, be in a very prayerful mood, so we get more blessings from these, you know, these personalities. And that we pray so that we can take up the banner and do our part for what they have already put into motion. So, Madhava, you have the microphone? So we have the microphone. So we want a few devotees who didn't share their reflections from leaving the body and viewing in, hearing some of the things that's being said. And what you would be very proud and happy to hear after you have left your body. See? See, more than not, when someone does leave, there are times when we can be in tune to some of the previous environments. Not just a ghost, but there are times when people are still being processed or have not been sent or relegated to, you know, to the next body. That's one of the reasons why cremation is done and so much of these ceremonies done at different times after the departure, to be able to facilitate an entity as they get fixed up in the journey of where they have to go. So we may very likely be able to one day have that experience. Remember, oh yes, I remember we did an experiment like that in Maharaj's class, and now I hear and see what people are saying, what I really meant to them, because we'll know not only what they say, but what they're thinking also. So let's share a few cases.
Bhagavat was such a nice man, such a nice devotee. He always did things in the right time, right place. He was very sensitive for other person's needs. We feel a great loss because he's not with us anymore.
You would be comfortable in hearing? As we said, as you think about such, you also have to think within yourself what is needed to happen, what things you need to put in place so that those will be the things, you know, that people will definitely say. And will say even more, better, because of how you have impacted upon their life, what you have meant to community. Okay, someone else? Ishan Gore? We didn't take questions. Okay, we'll take two or three more of these, and then we'll take questions as we go into our next activity. I told the devotees that starting off each day, I would take questions from the previous day. And somehow I missed doing that this morning. There's a lot of things to cover, but I missed it still. I'm sorry.
First thing I've got written down here is that I would like to hear the devotees chanting the Maha Mantra in the background as I left my body. And then I put down that I would like to hear various devotees confessing their offenses, which we do throughout life, you know, and then in that way, then they can be forgiven for them, and then there's no more, you know, cycles. And I also hope to hear them forgiving me for all my offenses that I've committed to them. Basically, I would just like to hear the devotees, or feel the devotees, thinking that I was going to be missed, that I was a good character, and that I did a lot of various services that were helpful for them.
Sadhu. Okay. Maybe two more or so? Anyone else? I'll hand to Gopal. I am tactfully volunteering, all of you.
I haven't really wrote anything yet. It's been going on in my mind for the last few days.
Just share it in your mind, that's all right.
And it's already culminating, but I'd feel more comfortable putting it down into words to express it more clearly than just speaking it out of my mind.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow then.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow, yes.
Okay. Rama Maharaja?
Brahma Maharaja was kind of a screw-up, but generally he tried his best to serve his Guru Maharaj and the devotees. Even though for the most part he would mess it up. But I do admire his sincerity and his persistence in trying to do the seva that he attempted to do.
Haribo. Okay. Just pass up the Divyambar. Get the Divyambar. Of course, now we should realize that, you know, this is not just a kind of a joking thing or a simple thing that we're doing, although it's, you know, it's a very interesting type of reflection, is that, yes, we will leave the body. People will be thinking about us. And people will have different impressions. And how important it is for our own existence, as we are having a lot of love, a lot of prayers, let's focus on our departure. Because when one departs, it's like when we are living in the physical body, we are a product of our own choices, our own use of free will, but we're a product of socialization. We are so much based on the kind of sangha, the quality of association. So even as we're leaving, we go with what our own karma, also with the prayers, and with what complements our own karma. Just like it is possible that someone could have been very, very loyal, but they somehow wasn't quite 90-100% on. But because Prabhupada reaches out for them, and he takes them back. We know that you can go back to Godhead by Nitya Siddha, by Sadhana Siddha, and Kripa Siddha. Nitya is always thinking of the Lord, or sometimes one is eternally liberated and just coming here in disguise. And Sadhana Siddha, one goes through the natural progression of Shraddha to Bhava, you know, to Prema. But sometimes, as Kripa Siddha, one is not deviant, but they're not just so strong. But they are chaste, and they're perseverant, and especially by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that comes through the agency of Guru. Just like the spiritual master can act as a broker or as a lawyer on your behalf, or like you're trying to involve yourself in an investment and you don't have sufficient capital, but you bring your capital and someone else complements with their higher capital so that you have sufficient to be able to do what has to be done. So this is one of the duties and responsibilities of the spiritual master, is that where one has been sufficiently loyal and dedicated, then some situations are directly up to disciple-guru relationship, because Krishna is responding to the desires and the expressions of his pure devotees. And so in this way, we want to do all that we can within our power. And of course, you know, we want to pray for mercy. But we have to do what's in our power by being sufficiently mindful and attentive to what choices and actions that we engage in. So as we look backwards and think what we like to hear people say about us, we also have to look at what do we have to do so that that becomes a reality. And what do we really want people to do? Do we really want people to say, well, you know, she tried, you know, but she was just a big failure most of the time. I mean, she was somewhat more of a disturbance than a compliment to the community. Do we want people to say, well, every other year or so he'd come into the society and then he would leave and go back into Maya for another half a year and then come back? Or we want people to be thinking, we're really sorry that, you know, such and such Das has left the planet, but you know, he was a big operati. Do we want to leave and people are saying or thinking, my God, he was such an arrogant devotee, so selfish, so lazy. Do we want people to feel, well, the ashram will be a lot more peaceful now that he's gone? Or do we want people to really to feel and to say and think how we really made a difference in their lives? How our own example was encouraging to them. How we were someone who they could trust, someone who they saw as a good role model, and how they served other sadhus and served their guru. How much we would be excited in knowing that so many people were praying in a thankful way that they had knew us. So, Divyan Barb, you can share.
I've done this exercise several times already, and I realize I have quite a long list, so I'll just say a few things. I'd like to be known as an expression of love in action, and a humble servant always trying to serve the devotees, and I'd like my life, my whole life, to be an alternative to to material life. And I'd like people to remember that although I have so many challenges and difficulties in my life, I always face them with wisdom and fearlessness, always taking shelter in the lotus feet of Guru and the holy name, and that she always strives to learn more how to love Krishna and how to chant the pure name.
Okay, now I want to move into a few other quick things. So we want you to just turn to a partner, and for a few minutes we're going to put everybody in extreme maya. Huh? In the Dham, we're going to put you in maya for a little while. We want you to turn to your partner, to be in twos, and everybody to pair up with someone. And we want you just to share with each other just three, or maybe time. Let's go three. We're going to do this for about 5 or 10 minutes. You share. You're going to take 5 minutes. The other person take about 5 minutes. You share just everything that you can think about in your life that's a problem. But I want you to give the three major areas, three major problems, anxieties, complications, things is not working, disappointments, fears, any three of major things that bothers you, what you don't have, what isn't happening, what somebody said. There's any of the three most negative things that's happening in your life now. All right? Okay. Huh? Yes, yes. Just three, okay? He's going to share. You got to just reflect for a minute, and you got to just think of three things, huh? Whatever it is. You overeat. You don't chant your rounds. You're having so much trouble with your husband, with your son. You feel that nobody loves you. You feel that you're so worried about your money. Your health is terrible. Whatever it is, three of the topmost things you share with your partner, and then your partner share with you. Okay, everybody pair up. Yes? Partner's not here. No, just find someone else. Anyone. She speaks Spanish. Okay. You need someone to speak Spanish? No, you speak English also. Just find a partner. Vokalananda, let's see. Okay. Why don't you? I'm gonna have to write something down. Why don't you share with who? Can you share with him in the back? Please, come on. We need you for a little while. Okay? Okay, Gokananda, you share with me then. Yes? No, if you can, be as specific as you can. If you don't mind, you be as specific as you can. You just download on that person, okay? You have 1 minute more, so whatever conversations you have, try to wrap them up. The other person hasn't shared, the other person should share also. 1 minute more. Haribo, time is out. Haribo, time is out. Okay, so what we've done so far, yes, is we've had a few discussions about what we like people to say when we leave this body. We've just now taken a little, distraction by just looking at some unfortunate, negative, problematic situations in our life. All right? So hopefully you were authentic and you were honest about some blocks, some stagnations, some anxieties, some disturbances that you're dealing with right now. Okay, I want you just to hold on to those. File it away. Just for a little while. You know how honest you were. Hopefully you are. Because the more honest you were, the more that this entire exercise is going to help you. Now I want you to turn again to your same partner. And what we're going to share this time is that we're all now in Vrindavan. Okay? We've just left Mayapur for a little while. Mayapur and Vrindavan, both very auspicious. But for this little exercise. We're all going to go to Vrindavan. We don't have to catch plane. We don't have to go by train. We're going to just be there in 5 seconds. But now we're in Vrindavan, and an interesting thing is happening to us. Some of you have experienced the last year or two, some devotees leaving their bodies in Vrindavan. Some of you have been in the room while it happened or heard of it. Now, you are that person. You are in Vrindavan right now, and somehow you are aware that you only have 1 hour left to remain in this body. Your partner is going to carry a message for you to two people who you want to share something very important. Two people who are extremely important in your life in some way, but you're never going to see those two people again. That you are in Vrindavan, whoever those two people are, they are not with you at this time of your departure. But you, knowing you only have 1 hour to remain in this body, that there is some important message or messages that you want to share with two important people who are significant in your life. And so I want you to speak to your partner, because your partner is the one who's going to deliver that message to those two people on your behalf. You are leaving the body. Your partner is there with you and is going to stay with you until that hour is over. You have an opportunity to share with your partner two important messages. I'm sorry, important messages for two people that you want them to know. Something you want to share. And that's up to you what you want to share and who those, you know, those two people are. All right? So let's see. Gokulananda, Prabhu, you can go all the way back, Narayan-san, Gokulananda, so he'll have a partner in the chair. All right, so I think if you can take your same partners, it'll be good. So you're going to share, then the other one will share. If you want, you can just take a minute just to think about this, if necessary. But two people who are extremely important to you, you're never going to see them again, but you do have an opportunity to deliver a message. And now I want you to deliver the message to your partner, who's now going to deliver it on your behalf to those two persons who you're never going to see again in this body, in this lifetime. All right? Everyone understands the assignment? Okay. Haribo? Okay, time is up. Time is up. Now, a couple of things. First, some of you, okay, we're over now. Some of you may notice now that so many of those things that were so problematic for you, some of those most probably notice that all of those problems now didn't mean anything in that last hour. It didn't even come forth. They were insignificant. They were irrelevant. They were like something of another lifetime. Because they were, if you only had an hour more to live. Some of you may have noticed that an area that was a problem was even more of a problem, given that you only had 1 hour. Because now you're realizing, hold a minute, I really should have done this, done that. I should have addressed that. I should have resolved that. I should have confronted this person. I should have worked this out. And so it's also a way of reminding us that a lot of things that we put a lot of energy into, that really they're not that important ultimately. There's going to come a time we're definitely going to see that some of the things we worry about every single day, that they really are not that important for us to worry about day after day after day, because we're going to leave, or they're going to leave. In other cases, it'll help us to realize we have to stop procrastinating. Because in some of those reflections that you have 1 hour, you feel so bad about something that you hadn't done, you hadn't accomplished, you hadn't arranged, you hadn't resolved. But this kind of exercise gives us that extra time, extra hours, extra days, extra years in some cases decades. That too often we involve our energies into things that really are not really that important. They have to be done, they have to be addressed. Yes, we have to think about them. But now that we become so overly possessed, we were trying to have Divya Mata in this class, divine madness. So how to become possessed in the mindset of the residents of Vrindavan, where Krishna is in the center all the time, the divine couple. Or how to become possessed in the mindset of Bhishma, who leaves gloriously. So the whole of life is how to have the proper consciousness that will then allow the soul to return. So we die daily, or we take our challenges, little tests daily, to get ready for the big tests. Now we'd like some of you to share one of the people who you wanted to send a message to, very briefly, what that message, you know, would be. With your partner, you share two. Now, one prominent person, we'd like you to share what message you would send if that was the situation you were in. 1 hour to remain in this planet, in this body. There's someone who's very dear to you, or someone who's impacting upon your life in some way, significant in some way, that you would want to send a communication to that person, although there are hundreds of people, in some cases thousands of people in your life, there are two special people that you wanted to contact, to send them a message. And so, with the second and third and fourth chance, we want you to share with us that message that you would have sent to that particular person, as a way that it helps you to look closer about your relationship with that individual, so that you either put more energy into fixing that relationship, or you put more focus in expressing and sharing your gratitude, your affection, your love with that person. See, so much of being mindful and dying daily is also being grateful. We're not sufficiently grateful for things that Krishna and Guru has already and Sadhu has already done within our lives. We won't be properly attentive to the next encounter, the next experience, the next opportunity. We won't take advantage of this life, the rest of this life. We went over all those problems. We see, for many of us, how much of our day is just involved in thinking of the negative? Sometimes I do a workshop where I talk about internal dialogue and explain how 85% of people's internal conversations are negative about what can go wrong, what went wrong, what is bad, what that person didn't do, what they can't do, what they did bad the other day, how other people are thinking about them. I mean, so much of it is negative stuff. Sometimes we're just waiting for something to go wrong. Even when everything is going nice, we're thinking, well, maybe the next hour, maybe the next day is going to be a problem. And of course, the world is full of duality. But we often bring that problem to us because we're in such a negative mindset. So many people come to the holy dhams, and every year, people leave India, Vrindavan, Mayapur, they go back and they bloop. Every single year. Why? Every single year, people come to the holy dhams and they go back rejuvenated. Why somebody goes back and bloops, someone else goes back with more dedication. There are people who come to the holy dhams, and the majority of the time, they're miserable. They complain about the food, complain about the weather, they get sick. Some people get sick the first hour they arrive into the holy dhamma. And they're sick into the whole time. So then they have to leave because they're so sick. Same place, but different experiences. Everything has to do with how we codify it and how we perceive it. And so someone complains every day about their sickness. Someone else is sick, but they're using that to appreciate when they are feeling a little better, or they're using that to read more. They're using that to go deeper in the relationships they have with the devotees who they are associating with. We can constantly be in anxiety about what isn't happening in our life, and we all have so many things that just ain't working right. From our own bodies to our husband to our wife to our financial situations and on and on and on. But we all have so much that we can be appreciative of. And for most of you, one of the people you wanted to send something to or some message was some expressions of appreciation, of concern, of affection. But those persons are in our life in some way every day. Or some message we want to send to try to resolve something. Every day we still have some chance to do that. But one day we're going to come down to the final line where we only have a half an hour, or where we're leaving, and we're going to leave behind some things that we didn't sufficiently give attention to, some things we didn't resolve, some areas we didn't show sufficient appreciation. And the more that there is luggage behind, the more a guarantee for another body. And to the degree that there's less any stuff behind that we're still having to have to process, you know, we can go on. So we wanted a few of you to share the message that you would give to that particular person. Okay, don't everybody raise your hand at the same time. All right. Who's going to be first? Okay.
Okay, yes. Then I'll read something that my partner wants
yes,
to
what
say.
I want you to do. I don't want you to read in this one. If you got an hour to live, you're not going to. You're not going to be holding it. You're going to go back. Let me write something, very academically. You tell them, please tell this. So you just and you summarize in your own words what message you would send to someone. And who the person you're going to be sending to.
We're reading the partners, So, my partner was due to die at 7 p.m. and his message was...
No, you're not telling his message. This is your message.
Oh, my message.
Okay, all right, I understand.
I thought we were reading...
Okay. So you're dying, and you are giving him the message.
Mine's not important.
So you're going to... You're going to share. See, it's easy to tell with somebody else.
I wouldn't have put my hand up if I...
I know. I was wondering why you put up so fast. So you're going to give your message that you gave your partner. All right?
Oh, no, I don't like that.
No. Okay, what is the message that you gave to your partner?
I think it's easier if your partner...
No. This is a real thing now. We are having to experience the idea of leaving ourselves. Okay.
I have one big problem with this. I can't read his handwriting.
Yes. But you know what you said, okay? All we want, no, it's no reading. This is no reading. This is not an academic experience. Deaf is not an academic experience. Here we're talking about someone, yourself, leaving the body, and you got 1 hour before you're out of this world, out of this body, and there is one or two people who you want to send a very special message to. Okay? So, let's share real quick. What is the message that you're saying to that person? Don't be bashful. Don't be untruthful. Go for it. You're in Vrindavan.
Okay. This message would be the same message to my wife and to you, Gurudev.
What is the message?
And the message would be to thank you both for taking care of me so much and allowing me to be your servant in some ways, even though I was unworthy to do such a thing. And that I would pray that you would both bless me or pray for me that I would be able to continue devotional service after this body departs. I think if I departed in 1 hour, I would still have a material desire unfulfilled. Therefore, I would request that the project that I've begun, or all the possessions I have materially and money, be donated to further Srila Prabhupada's mission, and that somehow you could try to carry on the project that I've started so that we can help devotees a little more.
So, thank you. Okay. Now, as we share these things, we also have to think about, what if we did have to leave abruptly like this? So what we want to see put together, who we want to send a message to. This is also a way of giving us reflection to put more energy and focus on those things that are essential, those relationships that are important, and to realize that in most cases, we do leave abruptly. So something may be not finalized. But if we're dying daily, it doesn't make a huge difference because we're considering that such a thing can happen. Okay, someone else? Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Gopal, then Gokulananda next.
Likely that I'll leave before her. She's 26 or older than me. So I'm going
to... No. Give to her. If there's an important person in your life, share the message.
Well, the first message was to my son, Damodar.
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, my dear son, I was blessed to be able to take care of you, and you've given it all back by becoming a Vaishnava. And so I thank you for your sincerity and your good example, and it's also helped me in my own spiritual life by forcing me to become a better devotee. And I pray to Krishna, maybe we'll be able to continue in our next life to serve Krishna together as fellow Vaishnavas or something. So I just want to thank you for your sincerity.
And you see, the beauty of this is that he's still around, and he had a chance to give that wonderful message to his son. Here's his son right here, Damodar.
And this is the message I wrote for my dad. It's pretty short. Dear Pita, please make sure you go back to Godhead.
If you make sure you go back, then you'll take him back with you. Okay, so someone else is here. 1 hour, you're leaving this body, and you had a message that you gave to your partner to send to someone. Okay, Madhava, you have it, so you can share now.
I was gonna write to my mother, my dear friend Matsya Prabhu, who are both in this room. It's a little difficult.
That's the potency, because it's a chance for us to go deep into our hearts, into our consciousness, and reflect on those who are most dear to us, to have great appreciation and to share something. But the beauty is that we have more than an hour. We're here for, we don't know how much longer, but we can say that now. Go ahead.
You've both done so much for me, but I've never done anything for you of any value. I'll miss you both so much. Separation will be very difficult, but I don't feel we will be separated for such a long time.
So we're getting second and third chance. So we have all of this time we have now to even show our appreciation for those who one day we're going to be separated from. We have all of this wonderful time to be able to have quality association. It's so wonderful that some of you are even here with your children, or children with their parents, which you both are very fortunate. The child is fortunate. The parent is fortunate. That you have been brought together by some transcendental arrangement to help each other in preparing for being able to die daily. And one day, that you know, the final exam.
Messages to my mother.
I'm going to beg forgiveness, but can we turn the fan off? Because I got the flu, I think yeah. This is not very...
I always felt that my mom always gave to me as much love as she possibly could in every way. She's always demonstrated to me that, and I feel that I'm blessed, and shown a lot of me a spiritual life, a chance to progress, and I just wish her.
So you'll formulate the message. What is the message that you want someone to carry right back to her?
Well, I just want her to know that that I love her very much, and that that I will do my best to be sure that she's happy with me.
So here we've had three Gurukuli children who've grown up fully into the movement. And as they reflect on their last hour, and they are focusing on their parents. This is culture. This is very beautiful. This is very wonderful. Is there someone else? You know, for men to share these kind of things, it's hard for us as men. So if we can open up the ladies' show, you know, they can't. It's not a problem for the ladies.
Two people. Oh, one. Okay.
You're going to share one prominent person? Message that you're sending to me.
Okay. I'll do the one to my husband. I would want to let my husband know that no matter what decisions he makes in his life, to know that I, at this moment, support him and am at peace with our relationship and am very much affectionate towards him. And I thank him for his guidance because I can see now the benefit of all of his instructions that I may not have seen the benefit for at the time. And I would want him to know that all the austerities that he performed, not never to doubt that they would pay off, and that his continued acceleration in Krishna consciousness will make his own departure the most blissful and the most fulfilling experience, and that I know that now. And I would want him to share that same message with all of my blood relatives and the devotees that I was close with, never to doubt how sweet our departure can be.
Hari Bol. So her husband, Ramamurthy, he's over there. He heard all of that. Okay. The beauty is that we do have a second chance. We do have more than an hour. Okay? It's his mother's turn again, right? Let's give the Divyam bar. She's in trouble. She's always in the front here, so the front row first.
And the The person I would send the message is your Gurudev. And I would like to thank you very much for all your guidance and making first a human being, then a devotee of this fallen soul. And I'm just so grateful that I'm in Vrindavan, and that's the unimaginable good fortune to leave my body here. And the short time we were connected in this life has been extremely beneficial, and I'm eternally grateful, and I only pray to remain connected in future lifetimes so I may serve you in the future. Thank you.
Okay, I need a few more volunteers.
Mine are not so, I wasn't so heartfelt, so mine are quite shallow compared to everyone else's.
No problem. No, hold the mic a little closer.
Okay, I'll share my message to my husband.
Is he here today? I don't think
no.
so.
No. I hope that he just tries to serve Krishna, and that he'll be okay. That was my short.
Okay, we just need a few more. Any volunteer? Yes. Brahma Maharaj has his hand. Got 1 hour to send a message. Vrindavan Express.
So this one is to my wife, and it's to apologize for all my harshness and obnoxious tendencies, and to thank you for all of the help you've given me in everything I've done, and to please take Giriraj and go to the Dham and worship him and chant Hare Krishna, because that's all there is.
Hare Bol. Okay, I want two more sharings, okay? Mother in the back.
Now,
don't think you off. Every day we're carrying the previous excitement into the next day. So some of you can share tomorrow also, maybe two or three.
Both messages are similar. They're identical, actually. And the one is to my Guru Maharaj, and the other one is to my Shiksha Guru. That I would like them to accept my humble pranams and please forgive my offenses. And that I'm leaving this body, I love you, and please engage me eternally in your service in Chaitanya Prabhu's mission.
Okay, we have time for one more. Okay, who liked the last one for the day?
I'm not a part of the class, but since I've walked in, I guess I'll join the express. I'd like to thank my mom and my dad for every aspect they have engaged me somehow in Krishna consciousness throughout my whole entire life. So I'll thank them and all my brothers and my sisters all together for being gems of devotees and trying to make me one too.
Okay, so our time is coming to an end. So today we see we missed the questions and answer period, which I apologize for. Somebody be sure to remind me if I do it again tomorrow. When we start off tomorrow to take questions, we still got 5 minutes, so maybe I'll take one or two questions before we end today. We had the dyads where you shared just your grossest problems, major problems, it's confronting you. Both partners shared in this way. We had some continuation, of the obituaries or reflecting on some things you would be comfortable to hear if you left the body and when you left the body. We did this last exercise of being in Vrindavan and having 1 hour before you have to die. That and the previous exercise, you know, sort of goes together. The problems and things that we have, it gave us a chance to look and see, are there really such authentic, genuine problems that they should be constant problems in a meditation for us? Or are there certain things that maybe we're putting too much energy into? Or some areas we need to put more energy into? Because we do have a very important engagement that we have to leave. And when we leave, all of the stuff that's been going on in our lives, that's it, it's over. And now we go into a whole another life, but the next life is going to definitely be in accord to how we dealt, you know, with the previous stuff. And while we haven't finalized certain things from previous life, then it means we have to come back and back and back and back to work on that. Where some relationships, some grudges are there, we're holding on to that. Some cases, you know, we haven't been forgiven. We have to come back. Some extreme attachments we had, wanting to be beautiful, wanting wealth, wanting fame, whatever. Okay, Krishna will give us an opportunity to try to pursue such and to have such. We've had many, many relationships, many, many experiences, many, many things in previous lifetimes. And we'll have many, many more if we don't come to a point of severing the duality. So Prabhupada explains that life is really preparation for death. That this existence is really designed to prepare us for one day to gloriously depart, where nothing is more of a priority to us to returning back. The spiritual world. And until we can have that kind of fixedness, that kind of absorption, that we can become possessed to that extent, we'll have to come back. Anything that's more important to us than joining the divine couple will keep us away from them. Anything we're trying to pursue or trying to become, anything that we are so much in anxiety about, any area in our life, there's a lack of closure, then we have to come in other lifetimes to work on that stuff. The bodies we all have now is part of a previous life's interactions that have brought some kind of environment and body and package to work on something. There are some things about our previous life that we didn't finalize that's given us the body with whatever stuff we have with this body. The country we're in, the gender we're in, race we're in. It has a lot to do with some incompleteness from previous life. Otherwise, we would have a spiritual body. We wouldn't be here. So the fact that we are not in the spiritual world and we didn't come here just to help to bring everybody else back means that there were some people, relationships, that we didn't have this die daily mood. And when that half an hour, whatever came, or 5 minutes, our minds were absorbed in a lot of things in relationship to the duality of the material world. So it dragged us back into these bodies. But where a time of death comes, and we have pretty much done our best with whatever difficulties or experiences of whatever's gone on, but the basic thing we're thinking now is returning back to the spiritual abode and relationships. Important relationships, we're just thinking in terms of gratitude, appreciation, or anticipation that they are going to come and join us. Other stuff will be a problem. If we're thinking, but but who is going to take care of my house? We're thinking, how are they going to use my bonds that I put away? Most of us don't have to worry about that because there's no bonds, right? And we're thinking about how long is it going to take him before he marries another woman? Now that I'm gone, who's going to clean the house? I mean, all of this kind of stuff will mean we have to come back and supervise and oversee that such things will go on in another body. But we're ready to have that kind of divya mala, that madness, that all of this is a chapter of a drama that's behind us. And we are grateful for all of the failures and successes that we had, all of the love and the disappointments, all of that. We're happy because it's made us now the person that we are, that we can say yes to Krishna and just zoom out of this body and be back in our eternal relationships with our eternal family. We all have so many associates that we're eternally connected with that are just waiting for us to snap out of the daydream, or more like the nightmare that we're in. It's like you're in the class and you're tired and so I'm speaking and you kind of nod out for a minute. And so then you wake up and you realize that you're in the classroom. So there are so many residents that are just waiting for each of us who know us, who know our real identity, and who associate with us in our whole fullness, and who never cheated us, never lied to us, never disappointed us. We have millions and millions of lovers who are just waiting to downpour their love on us. We have the divine couple just waiting for us to pick up again our eternal services. And so, being a material body is turning our back on the eternal leelas that we are part of, the eternal happiness that's there. And so we have to move through these things. But when time of death comes, we want to be so much in readiness because of how we prepared and have not left a lot of things hanging. So I was very happy that we had several of the children being able to share with their parents and parents sharing with their children, which is so much of culture, what Krishna consciousness is, each generation. You know, to be connected and to be able to support each other in such ways. So some of you didn't have a chance to share. We'll have a very short time tomorrow before we go into other exercises for a few who didn't share to be able to share. I'll start off with questions tomorrow. But some of you who didn't have time, think about it a little more and share with us tomorrow. But everybody who shared or didn't, keep thinking about these kind of things. And give more time to those areas you need to consolidate. Give more focus on things that you need to resolve. And stop being shy about telling people who are dear to you how you appreciate them. Because one day you may not have a chance to do that personally. Or you may not even have a chance to have an envoy who's going to do it for you. So do it now, so that we are able to have more quality association every day. So yesterday's homework assignment, you just keep that. We won't give you another homework assignment because we didn't have a chance to work on the homework assignment today. Yesterday we divided devotees up into twos. We gave you a particular pastime to study that you're going to share with us. So that we will do tomorrow. That'll be one of our major things tomorrow, along with a few other dying exercises. Forgive me, you come all the way to Mayapur to be in Bhaditya Maharaj's class and he has you die every day. At the time, biggest festival in the history of ISKCON. We're talking about dying. We're really talking about how to be fully alive. ISKCON founder Chardasila Prabhupada ki.